Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Today's reading is a big story in the book of Acts. It's a pretty big story in all of the New Testament. And if we zoom out a little bit and consider the whole of human history, this is a pretty pivotal story in the life of the church. Saul, who we come to know as Paul, is the person through whom the gospel of Jesus spread to much, if not all, of the non-Jewish world. So it's not hyperbole to say that you and I are here today because of whatever happened to Saul on his way to Damascus. But what happened? As you heard Pastor Callan read, there was this bright light. Saul was knocked to the ground, and a disembodied voice, the voice of Jesus, spoke to him. And after a little bit, Saul got up and he went on his way, unable to see. Of course, this isn't the whole of the story. There's more to the story, and we'll finish it off next week when Ananias is sent by God to speak to Saul, which brings a whole nother dimension of drama to the story. But for today, the story in front of us, I want to fasten our attention on whatever it is that just happened to Saul. Maybe you'll remember that the book of Acts is really a part two of a story that began in Luke's gospel. Both Luke and Acts are written by the same author, with the same audience in mind, and the same goals. I mention this because I think it's important to remember that this is somebody else that is writing about Saul's life. Today's reading from Acts is not autobiographical. When Saul or Paul talks about this moment in his own life, there's no flash of light or mention of blindness. In fact, the details when he tells the story are pretty sparse. When Paul writes his letter to the church at Galatia, he says, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it from a revelation of Jesus Christ." When Paul is saying that he received the gospel through a revelation of Jesus, what he's actually saying is that he received it through an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. That's the word that he uses when he's writing in Greek, apocalypse. It's that big, scary word that signals to our brains the end of days, and judgment, and four horses, and Kirk Cameron. He's in the Left Behind series. Growing Pains too, but you know, that fun stuff, apocalypse. But that's not what Paul means here. He's talking about apocalypse as an unveiling, a making known, a peeling back of the curtain, a presence, a fellowship with the divine that is made known to him in Jesus. And this apocalypse is profoundly disruptive and disorienting. It subverts Saul's expectations and understandings of who God is and how God is at work in the world. It's apocalyptic in the sense that it shows Saul that what is the world that he knows and the world that he's familiar with isn't what will be. This apocalypse shows that God has other plans for the world and for Saul. This apocalypse is a break from the status quo and an inbreaking of Christ's presence in his life. And according to Luke's telling of the story, this apocalypse leaves Saul flat on his back. He's knocked to the ground. He can't see and he doesn't know what's coming next. The power behind all of this, all of what has happened to Saul, is God, and God's power has the potential to totally reorient Saul's life. It has the potential to remake this world, but it takes time. For 3 days, Saul doesn't eat or drink. For 3 days, he can't see. Saul's world has been turned upside down, and now it's not clear exactly what's next. It'll take time. It'll take time for God's intentions for Saul to become clear. It'll take time for the gospel to take root in his life, to permeate his life and his work. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I've heard this story, I've missed that part. I've skipped over the part where it takes 3 days for the next thing to happen. I've always heard this story as this dramatic moment of clarity, where Saul has this instant insight and knows all of a sudden what he's supposed to do next. But he doesn't. And that matters. Because so much of our life happens in that in-between time. The time between something big and dramatic or impactful, a significant moment in our lives, and then all of the time that it takes us to figure out how we live into the reality of what just happened to us. My wife Beth has been reading this book called Between Two Kingdoms. And it was written by a woman named Suleika Jawad. Suleika is an author, and she's a journalist. She's a cancer survivor. At 22, she just graduated from Princeton. And she was all excited to head out into the world and be a war correspondent. And then just days after graduation, she was diagnosed with a kind of leukemia that only has a 33% survival rate. And all of the dreams and goals that she had were dashed. And alone in a hospital room, surrounded by machines and fluorescent lights, she started to write. And her writing became a blog. And that blog became a column in the New York Times, called Life Interrupted. And that column caught people's attention, and they started to write her letters, people from all over the country who found themselves living in a similar space, in between what was and what might yet be. And after 4 years, her cancer treatment was successful. Went into remission, and it was gone. But she found herself completely unprepared for that moment, for what was next, because she'd spent three years just living to survive. And now she wasn't quite sure how to live. So she took a road trip. She got into her car with her dog and decided she would visit some of the people that had written to her. And one of the people that Suleika visited was a professor in Ohio whose name was Howard. Howard had written to her after a lifelong battle with a disease, saying, "You know, meaning is not found in the material realm. It's not in dinner or jazz or cocktails or conversation. Meaning is what's left when everything else has been stripped away." Now look, I want to be clear. I don't think God causes cancer or illness, or any of those things that threaten our ability to live the full life that God intends for each one of us. But I do believe that Jesus shows up in the middle of those moments. And that Jesus helps us to see maybe a little more clearly, gives us a little courage to move forward and to have hope. But it takes time. On his back in the sand, unable to see, everything else had been stripped away from Saul. And the only thing that he had left was the voice of Jesus, a voice of challenge, an invitation into something else, something new. It was a voice that invited him into something uncertain and unknown. But it was good, and it was holy, and it was life-giving, and it changed the world. As followers of Jesus, we live between that promise of Easter and that future time when Christ will come again and God will remake this whole world in God's own image. The in-between time that we live in is hard, but it's holy. We don't get to see often what comes next or know where we're going. But Jesus promises to show up in those spaces and places in between, inviting us, like Saul, to get up and go and trust that God goes with us today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.